I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Our next listener, Ton, and I got a little chuckle here. I'm sure they're not going to chuckle. They need their questions answered. Excuse me. Their home is stucco. They live in Saratoga Springs on the lake. It's new construction, so they don't have any landscaping, but they do have a couple of issues today. And their first issue, they said, is artillery fungus. So I'm like, are there munitions there? So that's where my chuckle comes in. What is that, an autocorrect?
It is. It's armillary, A-R-M-I-L-L-A-R-Y. So armillary fungus.
Okay. They also have a green and brown dot fungus or algae on the back of their home, and they'd like to know how to get rid of that so it won't come back.
There's really not much you can do because the majority of the fungus is underground where you can't get to it. And if you're having armillary fungus show up, then I would really find out what it's feeding on, because it feeds on wood. And if you have it coming up near your home, you need to make sure that if you have wood for some reason sunk into the ground, that it isn't decomposing the wood on your house. But you also, it can sometimes get into tree roots where the trees are declining and start breaking down tree roots. Now, it also will just do dead roots in the ground and stuff too, but you do need to be sure that it's not decomposing something of value, and if it is, get that remedied. But just to actually get rid of a fungus in your yard, like a mushroom or a toadstool, you really can't, besides just raking them off.
Oh, okay. I'm sure they're not going to be happy with that answer. Next listener says they have some kind of grape-looking vine that's taking over their aloe. How do they get rid of it without impaling themselves on the aloe?
Now, is it in the city of Loa?
No, I think they're talking about aloe vera, the plant.
Oh, you know, aloe.
How it gets,
yeah.
Aloe, okay.
Yeah, okay.
How it gets kind of spiky and it gets large. And
okay.
How do they get rid of this grape-looking vine? First
I
of all, what is that?
It's Boston creeper or Boston ivy or Virginia creeper, one of the two. And they root very deeply and profusely, and they grow very quickly. So what I would recommend doing is getting it out of the flower bed or wherever it's growing. And then on those tips, getting a Roundup concentrate with just an inexpensive, like, watercolor paintbrush, and dabbing, as soon as they cut, glyphosate right on the cut of the stem going into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to have to do this several times, but they want to get rid of it sooner than later so it just doesn't take over. The Boston ivy and Virginia creeper are spread by birds that feed on the fruit in the fall.
Okay, next listener says, what do you suggest? They have some heavy branches loaded with peaches. They've thinned, as you suggested, early in the summer, and now they're worried the branches are going to snap.
Well, they need to get into their savings account and go buy some 2x4s.
Exactly.
And
it's the only thing I can think of that
it
will
is.
Help
prop
save those
branches up and do it now before they get a lot more weight on them, because what will happen is the branch, as it bends over, gets micro cracks or micro fractures. And it creates opportunity for things like Pseudomonas and other diseases to get in and cause cankers in the branches.
Mm-hmm.
So I would prop those up with some 2x4s. And what you can do is just go get them on one end. Once you kind of have the height right, cut a V into it and maybe just get an old cotton rag and put on that V so it doesn't damage the bark.
So do you dig it into the ground, the 2x4?
No, the weight of the tree will hold it up.
It's not going to be dangerous for the kids?
No, it might. It's going to be harder to mow around, but the weight of the tree, that branch can be...
Branch is probably more dangerous.
Yes,
it
is.
Falling on them, right?
And so prop that branch up. They may need to do it in a couple of spots, but that's going to be the best thing. And do it now so that you don't get another third to, doubling of the peach size and then just have the branch snap.
Yeah, we've had to do that before. And you don't need to tie the 2x4 to the branch or anything. You just prop it up.
You do.
Okay. This next listener is a little frustrated with gardening this year. They say, do you have any advice for those times that you feel discouraged when there's so much work to do in the garden and yard, and especially when they're not doing as well, except for the weeds and pests, of course, they're doing well. It's so hot.
All the time. Everyone imagines I live in this wonderland, and I can barely keep up with my yard. Yesterday, for 10 minutes before I went to work, I got the gardening hoe out and hoed out a little flower bed in my front yard. I've got everyone has problems and it does get frustrating. And personally, I've just had to start forcing myself to set aside 10-minute blocks to do something or else nothing gets done.
Well, and it makes it easier too. And you aren't so discouraged and depressed about all the problems in the yard. I think we get so excited in the spring about planting new things and it's kind of cool and it's fun to be outside. And then the heat of summer hits. And things start looking, hard when they're not looking as well as you'd like them to. It is discouraging.
It is really discouraging. Now, this is one thing I will say. Growing up, we had a neighbor that had never gardened before. And so she put in a garden and it was beautiful. And then she was a full-time nurse working odd hours. And the garden got water, but it only got weeded once or twice. And then it went what she called fallow. Mm-hmm. And finally, in the fall, she went out and started weeding, finally, and she found that she had carrots, and she found that she had a few potatoes, and found that her tomatoes were loaded.
Right.
And so sometimes I think we have these expectations of having that Martha Stewart quality garden, but even the effort of putting it in and not having everything go totally right, when you do what you can do, you still will get some benefit out of it. Flower gardens are a little different. You don't want the weeds everywhere, but I guess the spring effort with even an automated sprinkling system will yield some results. And I would just say, don't be so rough on yourself, and just everyone gets busy. My own yard gets that way. And there's just years that you have to say, next year I'll do differently, next year I'll plan differently, but don't beat yourself up over this.
Right. And 10 minutes a day is really good because you're not just out there in the thick of it for a couple of hours when you're
no.
in the heat of the day.
Right? I'm leaving for work at 7 or 8 in the morning. It's perfect temperatures and not much gets done, but something gets done, and I feel like I've at least got that little portion out of the way.
And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Thank you for listening to the KSL Greenhouse.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton taking your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Our next texter said we mentioned the landscaping class, and we do have the Dig Around Town calendar that plays on Saturday mornings about 9:25. And whenever you hear that, all of the information that is on that calendar is also available on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And included on that Facebook page post is all the links, Ton. So it makes it really easy for folks who hear that information. They can go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page and click on the link and actually sign up for whatever class or learn about what other events we have that we're talking about.
We oftentimes forget that gardening classes don't just happen in late winter and spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our interest is peaked and everyone wants to get out there, but there's so many valuable classes out there right now that interest kind of drops off, but they're also the attendance may not be quite as what it would have been in May. So you're probably going to get a lot more personal attention from the instructors.
Right. And I try to hit like each of the different websites and promote them every few weeks so that I'm, you know, I'm being fair to all of our great community classes that are out there. But there are so many, Ogden Botanical Center, the USU,
Botanical Center in
USU
Kaysville.
Botanical Center in Kaysville. There is Conservation Garden Park. There's Weber Basin Water. I'm sure I'm going to forget, like, there's Red
Butte
Gardens and Thanksgiving Point. And I try to kind of go through all of those and mention those, you know, independently throughout the week.
No, it's a good service, and I'm glad we have been doing that just because there are so many wonderful gardening resources out there, and some of them you pay for, but a lot of this stuff is just absolutely free.
Right, and such good classes and just some great ideas. The ones that I posted this week were really kind of interesting because Red Butte Gardens has one where a nutritionist is helping athletes fuel their bodies with different plants that they can grow in their gardens. And I thought, well, hey, that's a fascinating idea. But there are some others. And I noticed we did our succulent video on flower beds, which you can find on the greenhouse page as well. But then one of the other community groups has picked that up, and they're actually doing a class on that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So some fun things there, but you can always find that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Our next listener says, my tomato plants are huge, but there's not much fruit on them. Also, the broccoli, same thing. They're really large. What can they do?
Well, the broccoli are not going to be producing flowers right now, flower buds, and that's what we eat. Or just if you let them, the broccoli, if you left it on the plant and let it go, it would produce flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be producing anything. Maybe this fall they may. So there's that. And then the tomatoes.
So they should. That's going to be next spring, the broccoli? Or what
it may
is
not
that? Or not
winter.
At all?
Mm. So hopefully they'll do something this fall. I don't know. So they'll just need to be patient. The tomatoes, if they've been fertilizing with something like a Miracle-Gro or Osmocote, cut the fertilizer off. You know, this could also be temperature related to where high temperatures will decrease flower production and fruit development, and then too much water. So they could just be overly loved. They should be watered a couple times a week deeply. And too much water will sometimes limit flower production, too.
I'd been getting just a few stragglers when it comes to tomatoes over the last couple of weeks. And then with the cooler weather we had this week, oh my,
bring them on,
right?
Yes.
Like, I've just got these huge, beautiful tomatoes. I'm not sure I can eat them as quickly now as I'm growing them.
Yeah, it's salsa season, and it's coming quickly. And so there's nothing like just taking those onions, peppers, and tomatoes straight from the garden, cutting them up and making a salsa. There's many other things you can do with them, but that's one of my favorite times of year.
Right, and it's really fun, too, when you plant different types of tomatoes to make different salads. Each tomato has such a different flavor.
They do. Even the commercial hybrids will have slightly different flavors, but that's one of the advantages to growing open-pollinated and heirloom varieties. Not only the color differences that will add a pop to a salad or something, mm-hmm. but the flavor differences. Some of them are super sweet. Some of them are a little bit tart. For lack of a better term, some of them are super tomato-y.
Right.
And so there's just so many different flavors and things. It's always worth, you know, if you're going to be canning tomatoes, but by all means, put in your row of Celebrity or Better Boy that you're going to get good yields out of. But also tuck in three or four heirlooms and just enjoy those fresh.
Enjoy that variety.
And the variety, and just so many good things you can do.
Let's take a call this morning from Doug in Kaysville. Good morning, Doug.
About 30 years ago, I planted a black diamond watermelon, and it was great. It produced 3 or 4 40-pound watermelons, and I tried subsequently, you know, over the years, and something would always kill the roots, and I'd never get a watermelon plant to survive. Well, this year I planted one of the seeds from 3 years ago. It grew, and I've got it in a pot that's about 13 wide by 16 deep. And it was growing great, and now it's starting to turn yellow.
Watermelon are normally or naturally very deeply rooted. And I suspect that it's run out of room in the pot, or there could be several other things. Let me ask you some questions. What kind of soil in the pot? Is it a commercial potting soil or just garden dirt?
It's a commercial potting soil.
Good. Okay, and how big is the plant?
Oh, it's probably growing. Some of the things are about 6 feet long.
Okay.
I've had 2 watermelon on it. One of them, either a raccoon knocked it off or I'm not sure, but I've got one left. I've put mixed osmocote with it when I transplanted it from a smaller pot into this large one.
Well, so you've put it into a larger pot recently?
No, this was probably almost a month ago.
Okay.
It was in a smaller one. I started it, well, it's made 3 transitions. From when
okay.
I first started,
because
I didn't think it would even.
Yeah.
But
the pot you have it in is still extremely small for the root volume that plant's going to have for such a big plant. And I can't be sure, but I would suspect that it may have rooted into it with the hot weather. And if you're going to be doing this in the future, I would just go ahead and start the melons and transplant them into something at least 18 inches to 2 feet wide and, you know, a foot to 18 inches deep.
Okay. So the turning yellow, is that iron chlorosis? Or?
No, it could be that there's just not enough nutrients in the soil or there's not enough soil volume to support the size of the plant. It could also be too much water or too little.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering, whether I'm overwatering or not
well,
enough water.
Well, it's really hard to say, but those watermelons, if they're in the ground, you would only water weekly, and then you'd cut the water off sometime in early to mid-August, or even sooner, and just water occasionally. And if it's getting lots of water, you'd need to check for root rot or something, but it's just not an ideal thing. And if you want to do this in the future, it's very doable. You just do a larger container.
Okay. All righty. Well, see how it goes.
All right. Thank you so much for your call this morning. Next person, I'm trying to see, do I have enough time for this? I'm going to wait on this next person. We appreciate your calls and questions. We're going to take a break in just a moment for the top of the hour news. This morning, we've talked about daylilies at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. You can find a fact sheet and more information on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, as well as common purslane. If you've not seen purslane, it's a weed, but also one of those things that you can eat out of your garden. So you want to check out the fact sheet on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page as well. Again, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.